Welcome back to Beyond the Uniform. I'm Justin Asiri, and my goal is to challenge and support military veterans to reach their peak potential in their civilian career. Today's episode number 269 with Sunny Anderson.
You know, in that time, you know, I went broke, and I never lost my spirit about it. I'm sleeping on the couch at the time, looking at poop at the kennel or whatever, working at the magazine. You know, you just have to take a chance on yourself in that way. If it gets to that point, because I don't believe that anyone else is going to take a chance on you if you're not willing to just go all out. And, you know, I was not going to give up. And I remember a couple of years after I got to the network, the president of programming, I think she was trying to compliment me, but and I guess it was a compliment now, but then it kind of hurt. She said, you know why we hired you? And I'm like, why? Because you just wouldn't leave us alone. You know, you wouldn't stop. You wouldn't let us say no. You just kept coming back. And so I sat down one day and we were thinking about, oh, we've got some space and we're going to add three people. Three people? You were the first person because you wouldn't stop. And we just figured, we'll give you your chance. And if it doesn't work out, then she'll leave us alone.
Well, what an interview. Sunny has had a career in radio, television, and is a New York Times best-selling author. Yet what sets this interview apart is not Sunny's unbelievable accomplishments. It's her candor in talking about the journey to get there. I learned so much from my conversation with Sunny. She talks about being honest about the work you enjoy and being intentional to make sure you don't get promoted out of it. She talks about finding mentors through hiring managers. She talks about working for free to get your foot in the door. She talks about taking risks and betting on yourself. Her story is one of determination and resilience, and veterans in any industry can learn a ton from this interview. Quick side note, normally I do these interviews in my office. I've got this great professional mic that I'm speaking into right now. This interview, just due to some complications, I was actually watching my 11-week-old son, Bodie. I did not have my fancy mic. I did not have a pristine and quiet environment. And so please bear with me if my sound is not as pristine as usual, but the content more than makes up for it. As always, at beyondtheuniform.org, you will find show notes with links to everything we discuss. Check out all the links about Sunny. Find her on Instagram, find her on Facebook, find her shows. She is someone you want to keep her eye on. She is an inspiration, and I really, really, really valued our conversation. And I also really valued review left on iTunes from screen name Wooly Bro, who said back in October, the information that Justin presents is of incredible value to not only the transitioning vet demographic, but also to anyone that is trying to find out what they want to do when they grow up. Thank you so much for that insight. Thank you for the positive review on iTunes. It makes a big difference in getting this resource in front of more members of the military community and their families. So with that, let's dive in to my conversation with Sunny. Well, joining me today in the Appalachian Hills, my guest is Sunny Anderson. Sunny, welcome to Beyond the Uniform.
Hey, thanks for having me, Justin. Happy to be here. Airman Anderson reports as ordered.
Well, for listeners, I wanted to give a very brief bio on Sunny, and there's going to be a lot of links for this episode in the show notes at beyondtheuniform.org. But Sunny is a very impressive background. She's a chef, entrepreneur, Food Network personality, radio personality. She actually grew up as an Army brat. She served in the Air Force as a radio broadcaster and journalist. When she left the Air Force as an award-winning broadcaster, she continued her travels as a radio DJ in many cities, culminating in her dream job in New York at the number one rated radio station. In 2005, she appeared on Food Network's Emerald Live, and shortly after, she left her radio career and closed her catering business to focus on chasing yet another dream, sharing her recipes with the Food Network audience. Her first show, Gotta Get It, a food gadget show, premiered in 2007, followed by Cooking for Real, How'd That Get on My Plate, and Homemade in America with Sunny Anderson. She's currently a co-host on The Kitchen, in September 2013, she released her New York Times best best-selling debut cookbook, Sunny's Kitchen, Easy Food for Real Life. Sunny, maybe to start things off, if you were to bump into someone today who's in the military and they said, Sunny, what do you do for a living? How do you answer that?
I always generalize it, and I try to tell people what I do for a living is I find the things that I love, and I try to get people excited about those same things.
I love
for
that.
Example, I love music or food or pop culture. And so it's trying to find ways to communicate that. I mean, overall, I feel like I am a communicator by trade. So a lot of times when I moved from radio to television, people would ask me, how was that transition? And I would say it really wasn't, because I'm doing the same thing, which is communicating something that I love and trying to get more people, you know, excited about it, knowledgeable about it, into it, people that are already into it, share some of our love of it. And the it is what keeps me going, constantly finding things that I actually like and finding ways to make a living. And then sometimes you don't. Sometimes you just do it, which is how I ended up being on television in the first place. I was just cooking on the side, and I'm doing it because I liked it for free. And then it turned into a catering business. So sometimes, you know, just chasing stuff for fun actually can end up being a career. But I would tell people what I do is communicate stuff that I like.
That's great. I mean, it's funny because as I look at your background, it seems like, you know, in some ways, like you said, there's been many transitions from the military to radio, from radio to television and writing. But there is this consistent story throughout. There's this consistent thread. And I wanted to zoom in, especially for those listening who are currently on active duty. Could you talk to us about what your transition was like from the Air Force, and any advice you have for veterans about approaching that transition?
Yeah. You know, I was lucky in that, you know, being in the Air Force, you get in at Lackland, everyone, except, you know, if you go up to the schools. And I also went to high school in San Antonio, Texas, where Lackland is. So I went away for a year to Seoul, and then my next base was back in San Antonio at Kelly Air Force Base in Afnews. So luckily, going back to a city that I knew, I was able to find work on the side while I was still in the military in my career field. And, you know, as long as I did my military job, which was my full-time job, I could have a part-time job. And so I thought, if I know that I'm going to get out, see, there's certain career fields in the military, which in broadcasting, you know, when you get promoted out of the job. And the job that I liked was writing and telling the story. And so if I were to get promoted, I would be the person that says, you know, to the lower ranks, go tell the story, go write the story. And I'm like the news director. And I really didn't want to do that. And so I knew that I had to get out of the military to keep doing what I wanted to do, which is so weird and counterintuitive, right? But so because of that, when I got to San Antonio, I knew that I needed to plan and get some you know, time and grade, if you will, on the outside, because, you know, everyone knows experience is everything. So I did that while I was also still in the military. And then, you know, luckily just from travel and being in broadcasting, I knew where I wanted to be because I was in travel and radio. I had to travel to tell stories and stuff like that for hometown news. So, you know, I just happened to be in New Orleans and heard some good radio there and decided that's where I wanted to work. And I worked on getting a job there. So that's kind of like the career side of it. And I would implore all military members to understand it is a full-time job, but if you've got space outside of that to kickstart your next full-time job with a part-time job while you're still in the military, I mean, why not? It's a great backup. You've already got the health care and, you know, the guaranteed paychecks. So you can go ahead and stumble a little bit and do some part-time work out there and figure out if you like it or not. So that's, you know, kind of like the career side. As far as the mechanics of getting out, you know. There's just that's so much paperwork, and I don't know if they still do it, you know, because I got out in 97, but there was always an office, a transition office that you could go to and get help, and I think a lot of people didn't. I did, and it was really, really helpful, especially with getting all of my medical paperwork done. I'm a disabled American veteran, so that was a lot of work and a lot of appointments and things like that. So I would just tell people that are still active duty, don't forget, you know, if you really want it and you really want to try and set yourself up, you know, maybe think about a part-time job while you're still in the military. It sounds crazy, but, you know, many people do it.
No, I love that. I mean, the two things I'll just tease out for listeners is I love the proactive nature of giving yourself fully to your job in the military, but carving out room in the nooks and crannies of your schedule to be able to get experience that's going to help you get where you want to go. And then I also really love the honesty in your answer of realizing, I think very few people realize that of like, hey, I enjoy this type of work that I'm doing. If I stay on this current trajectory, I'm going to be promoted where I'm no longer doing that. And that it sounds like you were able to notice that far enough in advance where you could start to plot a course that would allow you to continue to do the pieces of the work that you enjoyed and not have to go to the realm that you would not enjoy as much. I think that's really good foresight.
Oh man, I'm so glad you heard that. And because the true story is I'm a hard-headed person. I didn't want to get promoted so much that I failed my promotion test on purpose. And then, I wish I hadn't, because then it was like, the first time, cause I failed twice on purpose. The first time they made me study at my desk for a certain amount of hours a day, so that I would pass it. And that took me away from doing what I love, which was, you know, writing stories and producing them. And then the second time I failed it, that's when they realized, I think that I didn't want to get promoted. So the funny thing is years later, actually, when my book came out, I went down to San Antonio to see my old commander. He was still there, but he's a GS now. He's not a colonel. And everyone else was like civilian, but it was a really cool hangout session on Kelly. And I said to the guys, I said, hey, man, I don't know if you guys know, because I always kind of held it. I felt so bad about it because it made my supervisor look bad when I failed. I said, you know, I don't know if you guys know, but I failed on purpose. And they're like, oh, we knew. So it was just really, really cool to get off my chest, but for my commanders to understand that I didn't want the archetype that was set up for that career field in the military and be promoted out of my job. And, you know, not every career field is like that in the military. And you can stay in and you can get to the places you want to go in your career field. But for me, I always just want to be the one that's telling the story, whether I'm writing it or producing it. I don't want to sit up, you know, and, you know, pull the strings.
That's so amazing. I love that they knew right away. They're like, yeah, we knew. We knew you had this. We knew you were sandbagging this thing.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
Totally. I was such a hard-headed little girl. And I'm a hard-headed woman, man.
I can see that where in some ways that's a liability, but in many ways, when I think of you as an entrepreneur, when I think of you going through radio and television and writing, you know, that hard-headedness must be an incredible asset too.
It's the gift and the curse. It's awesome. Because that side of me really gets things done and it fights for me and it makes me happy when I close my eyes at night. But I also know, you know, not everyone's used to it and not everyone's used to it because, not everyone tries to plow through life the way I'm plowing through it. And it's not like I'm unique at all. There's so many of us out there and we see each other and we, you know, it's like game recognized game. Like, yeah, I see your hard-headedness. I raise you my hard-headedness. You know what I mean? But that's the cool thing about the military is that, especially in the Air Force, is I was able to be a little bit, you know, headstrong and think about team and think about better ways and you could add ideas. And that really does work in the civilian world. And that's also something about the transition is that we're so lucky in that so many people before us have set up such a great precedent as to what the military is, that we all know being in the military. It's just like any other company. There are some slackers.
But for the civilian world, we all look like we get it done. So use that trust that the civilian world has given us and go out there in the world and get something. You know, I think that we're the easiest to hire because we have that kind of shimmer of, oh, they're going to get the job done. And I'd say by and large, we actually do. And that's the best part about getting that part-time job is they'll work with you. You know, if you've got crazy hours or like myself, I had to be TY all the time. People are willing to work with you, especially if you tell them your goals and your dreams. A lot of times people want to help you get to those goals and dreams. You just have to actually say it.
I love that. I love, you know, what I love about that too, is it's like, it's almost like two parts. One part is being really honest and doing the soul searching to know what your aspirations are and know what your dreams and goals are. And then that second part is being able to communicate that and collaborate with others. And I love that sense that, you know, if you can communicate them, people are willing to help you in that direction, but it kind of takes the first work of finding it and communicating it to do so.
Yeah. I mean, I'm the first one, like if I'm looking for something, to tell everyone, you know, cause you never know, who knows what or who knows who, or who can offer something. You know, obviously they say a lot of times though, you know, keep your goals quiet, you know, and all those things. And I get parts of that, but you know, if you really want something from someone, it's every step of the way in my work and my career, I can remember a point where I went to someone that knew something more than I did and said, hey, can you, you know, teach me this? Or like, what's up with that? What's this about? And can you explain this to me? Or, you know, can you help me figure out what gets me to the next thing? And I would always tell people, and I still tell people now, I think a lot of times people look for mentors and they'll look for the person that they want to be, if you will, like the job that they want to do, they'll look for that person. And I always tell people, don't get that mentor. Get the mentor that hires the person you want to be, right? So then you know what the person's looking for. Because a lot of times, the person that you want to be doesn't really understand what their X factor is or what makes them who they are. But the person that hires them does. And the person that's looking for them does. So I'd say go one step higher for your mentor instead of where you want to land. The person that puts you where you land.
That's so fantastic. I've never heard that advice before, but I'm a big fan of mentorship and finding role models and you know, this thought that success leaves clues. And I love that thought of going to the hiring manager, because you're right, sometimes that star might not know what sets them apart, but the hiring manager will. And one thing that I wanted to ask about is, you know, I haven't had a lot of people on the show who have had a career in radio or broadcast media. You know, you're a little bit different, and that's very related to what you did in the military. But I'm curious if you have any advice for listeners who may be on active duty or maybe they've already transitioned and they aspire to go into radio. Any advice about pursuing a career path in that line?
Yeah. Excuse me. I think the first thing I always tell people to do is what I did, which I understand barely happens anymore because interns get paid now. But when I was interning, you know, we didn't get paid. I always tell people if they're willing to hire you, like if they're willing to use you for free, meaning like not everyone needs free help, even though it sounds great, you know, free is annoying if it doesn't do the job. So if someone will take you in, you know, for you just to learn the ropes and you want to intern and shadow or something like that, I say try to do that, especially at a radio station overnights and weekends, and just offer yourself up. You know, that's how I got my job in New Orleans right after the military. I mean, I had two part-time jobs in radio in San Antonio, but when I wanted to get out, I also wanted to go to school. So I did the whole Loyola thing. I didn't graduate, but I also then wanted a job there. So I just cold called a radio station. I told them I was in the military, that I was getting out soon, that I wanted to work there. I already had an acceptance to school. And then, you know, basically just said everything that I wanted and obtained that job. But you only really kind of get that if you do the reaching out. And I guess I would say that that's a major key to getting things done, is just not being afraid. And a lot of radio stations need help. And if you just call and say, I'll do any shift at any time, and don't think about the vanity of it all, especially if you are like a higher rank and you're used to being in charge, you know, sometimes getting out of the military, you're going to go back down a little bit and have to start over a little bit, but that's okay. So I would just say, call up, go call and say, I'm looking for something. And like I said, lead with the military, lead with it. You have put in work. You have received, sometimes depending on rank and how many kids you have, like less than minimum wage. You have been away from family. You know, you have struggled in ways that I can't even announce and say completely. I grew up in the military. I know what it was with my dad. And then to join it, so I know the sacrifices that I made. So, you know, you didn't do all of that to not lead with it. Lead with it, you know, and say, I'm getting out and I'd like to try this. I'm always willing to, I mean, listen, as a veteran, when I see a veteran-owned company, I'm ready.
I'm ready to work with them first,
you know.
I love that. Sorry, I was on mute for a second. I think there's so much wisdom in what you're saying. I mean, I love, first of all, what I hear from you is the risk taking. It takes courage to put yourself out there. And I think it also takes a grit and resilience to be willing to take that step back and be able to say and mean it, like, I'll take any job, any shift. I think that's so great that you're willing to do that and you call that out. And then I also love that you're talking about leading with the veteran angle. And I know that many listeners, and apologies, Sunny, and listeners, I unexpectedly ended up with baby duty with my 10-week-old son, and my wife is going to pick up in a second.
Cute.
So if there's some background noise, I hate to multitask, but I'm multitasking as we talk here. But the piece you said about leading with being a veteran, I think is so great. And I know that so many listeners are hesitant to do that. There's sometimes this perception that there's something wrong in that. And I thought it was beautiful the way you said that, Sunny. Like, you did this, you earned this, you spent your time serving your country.
Yeah.
Don't be ashamed to highlight that. I think that's wonderful.
Listen, you know, there's a kid out there with $50,000 in debt for college that's going to lead with his college degree or her college degree, right? So, you know, I didn't get to go to college. I went into the military, and I would argue, man, I learned a lot, you know. So when I'm calling somewhere, if their first question is going to be if I graduated from somewhere, I'm going to beat them to the punch and say I graduated from the military. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I still went to training. I went to my training school. And I don't see a problem with it. I think anyone that might, you know, might think that it's using it, like, well, were you in it? You know, did you do it? Because I think that any part of your life that you worked through, whether it was joy or pain or both, you are allowed to use that. It's part of your life resume. And like I said, I would argue it's just as important as a four-year degree. And many people in the military have that and more. So I don't see a problem with leading. And I really think that it's important because, you know, we are kind of invisible out there unless we tell people. You know, I love walking around and seeing a veteran wearing his veteran cap and his pins and everything. And I love it when I see, you know, a business that says proud to be veteran owned or something like that. We should let people know we exist. And people, you know, they get the luxury, a lot of civilians, of not thinking about what happens. But, you know, these veterans had a family that was worried if they were overseas, even if it wasn't in wartime. You know, let's think about that. Like, every time the news comes on and something happens, they're worried. So, you know, there's something about being in the military and being a veteran. And you know, you shouldn't be afraid to say, yeah, this is who I am. We should stick out for people. People should know who we are. People should know that we exist. You know, we're sending kids off, you know, 18-year-olds off to other countries with equipment that costs someone's, you know, salary for a year. And they got to sign it out and be responsible for it. You know, you doing that at 18? Heck yeah, you wear that on your chest. You let people know you've earned your stripes.
That's so beautiful. Yeah. I haven't heard that perspective before.
I would.
Yep. And I think that's just great. I love what you're saying.
I love the military. We should be proud. Everyone should know every single military member out there so they could visibly see how many people have volunteered to do something, you know, to do something.
I think that's such a great, I wrote that down as you were speaking. I love that. Wear it with pride. We should stick out for people and people know we exist. I think that's just beautiful to, because I recognize even in myself a tendency to not bring up my military service unless someone else does and not really just kind of blending in. And I realize in many ways that's both a disservice to veterans who come after me, and it's also a disservice to other people and letting them know about my military experience and letting them know, you know, starting to normalize that for society. That's almost like an act of contributing to the military community by being that example and being public in hey, this is what it is like to serve, and I'm just like anyone else, and having them get to know you as a mm-hmm. veteran. Could you?
Yeah, it's not for everyone, but what I love about the military is being able to explain to other people how multifaceted it is. It's not just artillery. You know, we have every career field that they have. So it's opening people's minds up as to who we are.
That's great. And could you talk a little bit about your transition to television and how that came about? And I think it's particularly interesting to me because I see, you know, it seems like you've got this incredible career in radio. You've also got, you're an entrepreneur, you're running your own company as well. And then, you know, you make what seems like from the outside, a big transition into television. And so I'd love to learn about how that came about, but also what it was like to make the decision to leave two really compelling opportunities to go for something else.
Well, I'll start with the second part and then tackle the transition. So for me, leaving things that I've done is really easy because I know I can do some more stuff and I want to do some more stuff. So I can't just hold on to everything forever. I like to leap and jump. And I know that if I'm so comfortable and everything is so great where I am, why would I leave it? I also know I can come back to it. My ego at least tells me that, right? Like I say to myself, well, I can leave radio because I was at the top, you know, at Hot 97, you know, top rated, all that stuff. So I tell myself I can leave it because I was at the top. So who wouldn't have me back, right? Like I pep talk myself, you know? So it's really easy for me to leave. And then the catering company, there was no way I was going to be able to continue to catch clients while also chasing the dream of getting on television to cook. It was just such a huge endeavor, my catering company, and I was the only cook. I would have people come and help me prep, but it was just a lot of work to do as well as taking these meetings and trying to pitch shows and ideas. So to get to that, the transition to TV from radio, it was about a 2-year span, and you know, I left radio right after I went on Emeril Lagasse Live. And so when I was talking earlier about your mentor should be who hires the person, I had already kind of used that before in my career as a guide. And so, you know, most people would think that I would keep in touch with Emeril and ask him and, you know, pick his brain after I went on his show. But instead, I kept in touch with his boss, his producer, and the executive producer at the network. So I would meet with them, you know, and ask them and talk to them about, you know, what do hosts need? And, you know, they would give me little hallmarks like, well, you know, you need to have X amount of recipes saved up because as soon as you start, we're going to start asking you for a recipe here and there. And so I thought to myself, all right, I don't have, you know, I've got those recipes in my head, but they're not written down. I got to get that done, you know? So I would just have meetings and, you know, really casual hangout sessions. They understood that this is what I was trying to do though. And from that and constantly being in touch with the network, I'm not fearful of keeping in touch with people that I want to work with. So after being on Emeril, you know, if they gave me their business card, I'm going to keep in touch. And, one of the executives I kept in touch with at least twice a month, I would just email them regular, you know, hey, this is what I cooked, or hey, this is what I saw on TV. you know, whatever. And, you know, later on, I asked him after I got the job and I was a few years in, was that annoying to you? And he said, no, it was perfect. And so I tell people that all the time because, you know, maybe it's different for other people, but keeping in touch with people is perfect. And annoying them is perfect. You might think it's annoying, but you're just keeping yourself in the top of their mind. And that worked. I would have meetings. And I was working at other jobs. I was working as a food and lifestyle editor at Hip Hop Weekly. And then I had a job at a company where we sold loans. And then I also worked at a kennel. So in this 2 year span, that's what I was doing. And also doing sales at a radio station and teaching adult literacy for English as a second language adults. So I like to keep busy just in case things don't work out, but not even thinking that things don't work, it won't work out. And I think just from meeting with them, letting them know that I was interested, constantly coming up with ideas, even though they took none of them, every meeting that I had and they said no, I would say, well, when can I come back to you with more ideas? And they'd say, yeah, pick up some stuff, but give it a couple of months. And, you know, sure enough, I'd give it a couple of months. And I'd ask for a meeting again. So that just happened. And I continuously did that. And they'd send me on a pilot test. And just I remember one time they said to me, you want to come back in for another screen test? Because right before I quit radio, I did a screen test for them that didn't do very well because I talk a lot. And it was like I'd just stand there and talk and then cook. I didn't realize you had to talk and cook at the same time. So after getting that information, also that 2 year span of having meetings, you know, just like rejigger things and get better. And, they gave me another chance. And after that second chance, I got the job. So that's really what happened over 2 years. I mean, I ran out of my savings. And that's why I was working all of those jobs, just trying to get food on the table. It worked out. I didn't have an end game. I didn't say I'm going to, you know, try this for a couple of years, and if it doesn't work out, I'll stop. I was just going to keep on trying, you know?
There's so much, there's so much I want to unpack from that, because it's just, I feel like you are extremely efficient in giving exceptional advice. And I love that you're talking about, you know, when you leave at the top of something, you can come back, and the confidence for listeners that if you do a really good job in your in whatever you're doing, knowing that that's an option to return to and having that confidence. I love this thought of you going to Emerald's boss and talking and getting advice, and that you get this gem of making sure that you have lots of recipes. And so that's something for you to work on then, of building up your library, building up your repertoire. And I love the way in which you keep your network alive and checking in that one case twice a month and just really remaining top of mind, and how over time that really paid off. And what I think I appreciate most about what you're saying is your honesty and even vulnerability in talking about all of these different jobs that you were juggling. It was, you know, honestly, Sunny, from an outside perspective, I'm like, oh, you know, whatever, she's probably working at the radio, and then something happens, she goes on TV, and that happens, and it's like, it's that analogy of the duck that's like calm on the surface and just furiously working underneath the water. Like, that's 2 years of you doing all of these different jobs and getting advice and receiving a no. I love how you talk about you get a no, and then you know, when can I come back with more ideas? You just keep going back. And the last thing I'll just point out for listeners is I know that you said you didn't have an end game, which I think is great for listeners to know. You don't have to have it all plotted out in advance. But what I love that I hope listeners appreciate in your stories, you may not have had an end game, but you certainly have determination, resilience, and tenacity in spades. And you're constantly learning. That's what comes through to me. And I'm like, man, I get it. If you have determination and resilience and an ability to be constantly learning, you may not need a game plan or an end game, because you just have the momentum to learn and pivot and get somewhere amazing in the end. So I just want to appreciate, Sunny, how much wisdom you're sharing with listeners in your story.
It's cool to hear it back. I didn't realize I had said all that. But I will say, you just, you know, in that time, you know, I went broke,
And I never lost my spirit about it. I'm sleeping on the couch at the time, looking at poop at the kennel or whatever, working at the magazine. You know, you just have to take a chance on yourself in that way. If it gets to that point, because I don't believe that anyone else is going to take a chance on you if you're not willing to just go all out. And, you know, I was not going to give up. And I remember a couple of years after I got to the network, the president of programming, I think she was trying to compliment me, but it, and I guess it was a compliment now, but then it kind of hurt. She said, you know why we hired you? And I'm like, why? Because you just wouldn't leave us alone. You know, you wouldn't stop. You wouldn't let us say no. You just kept coming back. And so we said, I sat down one day and we were thinking about, oh, we've got some space and we're going to add three people. Three people? You were the first person because you wouldn't stop. And we just figured, we'll give you your chance. And if it doesn't work out, then she'll leave us alone. You know what I mean? So, you know, I wanted someone to say, we hired you because we thought your food was awesome. Your delivery is great. You know, all these great things. And it was more of, I just wasn't going to take no for an answer. Like, I like it now, but then, you know, it kind of like, ugh, you know. And so I would just invite people to realize, like, you never can go too hard. You know, you really can never go too hard.
That's someone's
awesome.
Going harder. Yeah,
that's so awesome. And for listeners, you know, the encouragement I have is that at least from my vantage point, I think that most people who serve in the military, they, you know, we have that ability to break through walls. We have that ability to really go after something, to pursue a mission with relentless determination. So my encouragement is, you know, what Sunny is really exemplifying here. I know that everyone listening to this has some of that in themselves. And the other piece is, you know, I just want to like call out, like it's easy to listen to Sunny's story and be like, oh yeah, you know, she's sleeping on couches and she's broke. And I just put myself in your shoes though. And I realized like the reality, it must have been this psychological warfare of like seeing your savings go down to nothing and then having to ask someone to sleep on their couch and having to work all these random jobs. Like it's just the day in and day out of that. I just want to underscore how incredibly challenging that must be to face rejection and all of these things, and then to continue in spite of that. And I love what you're saying about not losing that faith in yourself, and that if you're going to go all out, people will take a chance. Yep.
Yeah, but the weird thing is, Justin, is like, it's happened so slow, you almost don't even know you're in it. So I didn't have time to like pity, you know. And I would also, speaking to that, I had a year's worth of savings saved up when I left radio, and I thought that was good enough to go chase dreams. That's not enough. You know what I mean? So, you know, start saving money now if you're in the military and you can find a way to pinch here and there. Start it now. It wasn't enough because, you know, when you're working with just savings, and that's when I started, you know, for a while, I was like, I'll live off my savings. And then I realized, oh, you know, the more I live, you know, the more the savings are gone. And my mutual funds, I cashed those in. I got to get a job, you know. When you get the savings and it's trickling down, you just start like not going places. You just figure every time you leave the house, it costs money. You know, so you're a little bit of a hermit. But I got to tell you, there was never a point where I was like, woe is me. It's so interesting. And I didn't even ask my friend. It was so weird. We just happened to be on the phone and I was telling him how stressed out I was about this and that. And he said, well, hey, you can stay on my couch. And I thought, oh, that never even seemed like a life I would lead, you know? And, but I took the offer, and it only took me a few months to get off that couch. Cause I didn't like it. I didn't like the way it felt. You know, that's another thing. I think, people don't want to be uncomfortable, but realize being uncomfortable will help you work out of that. So if you're uncomfortable not being, you know, on top or not getting the best paycheck that you want, you know, when you chase this dream, like then you'll maybe work out of that, you know, and you'll work harder and you'll get to something. Like it's okay to be uncomfortable. That's how you get somewhere. If you're comfortable, you're just going to hang out, right?
Oh, you're speaking my language. I feel like all the good things of my life have come when I was in discomfort. And I usually think of it as that's when I'm growing and learning. But I also love what you're saying, which is like, you know, if it's uncomfortable, you're really going to hustle to change things. And if it's you're in a jacuzzi and things are nice and warm, you might just stay there forever. And I also... I just want to highlight for listeners too that, in my opinion, just my opinion, I think that Sunny is much more representative of success than people give this credit for. And I think that she's much more honest and transparent than many people I speak with. But her story, like when you see examples, like Sunny has achieved incredible things repeatedly in her life. And I think sometimes the temptation when we hear these stories is to portray it as overnight or a fluke or things like that. But I think that she's really representing what is more common than not in high-achieving individuals, and that is this incredible stick-to-itness and incredible resolve and determination to learn, to grow. And it's not, you know, her story is not overnight success. Her story is not a chance encounter with someone and then she was on Food Network. It's, as you can see, like she is doing the reps, she is showing up, she is putting herself out there, and over time, the culmination of those things, she's like this freight train where it seems like, from my perspective, success is inevitable, but probably from your shoes, it's there's a lot of uncertainty along the way.
You know, definitely a lot of uncertainty. Every single day is like that. I just have stuff I want to do, right? So I'm just gonna see if I can do it. And because it's stuff, you know, I have a lot of stuff I want to try and do. It doesn't feel so bad if I don't land everything. And I don't feel like everything is meant for me, right? If I get everything I ever wanted, I'd have no space for the stuff I really have right now that I like. So I'm just kind of, you know, every day, you know, just every day trying to figure out, like, is this what I want to do? Is that, you know, it seems like I see how you're saying it, like how the outside could say overnight success, but I'm 44. It feels like yesterday when I moved to New York at 26, like, I don't know where all the time went. You know I did 4 years in radio and Hot 97, and then boom, I'm 44. Like, how'd that happen? But in between there's been a lot of, just work, you know, I don't really do a whole lot of fancy stuff either. Like, I don't really even feel of this life, to be honest with you. And I think it's partially because I grew up in the military and then joined it. I didn't grow up wanting to be on TV, so I didn't fix my brain around it. It's still kind of wrapping around it. You know, I'm just enjoying writing recipes for a living, and then I get to share them with people, and I'm enjoying the communications of it all, meeting people, stuff like that. But there's other stuff that I'm doing, and I get to create stuff like with my Inflatium brand, which is an inflatable snack stadium. I get to work on that, and I've got other things in the tank that I try to work on just to keep busy, you know.
That's awesome. Well, what would you want listeners to know about what's going on for you now, and what's in store for you ahead?
You know, just a little bit of what I mentioned. I a few years ago teamed up with a company that would produce a product that I invented called the Inflatium. It's an inflatable snack stadium. It looks like a football stadium, and it's for tailgating parties and couchgating parties. And I have other products that I've actually invented and created with them as well. I've got like a food truck caddy that holds utensils. It's just all party stuff. Really fun things that I like to sketch out and draw and find people to see if they can bring it to life. And I'm having fun with that. And I do think maybe one day I have another book in me, but I don't want to do another cookbook because the cookbook was fun, you know, kind of like the radio thing and the moving on thing I do. Like, I get it. I did it. All right. I don't want to waste time doing it again. You know, I already know what it feels like. It was fun, you know, so I would love to do another type of book, another genre. And that's it. I mean, I'm just working hard. if your audience, you know, is mostly military members thinking about getting out, if you've got a clue in your mind of, you know, what you want to do, start it now. And if you're just going to get out and you don't have a, you know, clear idea, you know, start looking for, you know, treat your life like a school and start dibbling and dabbling. You know what I'm saying? And you'd be surprised if you look really close to your chest, what you really like to do. You might be able to make a living from it, because this is just from cooking and talking. I mean, literally cooking and talking.
That's so wonderful. I mean,
there's a lot of, you know, CEO behind it. There's a lot of business, and I don't want to make it seem like it's just, that's all I do. There's a lot of really being able to run your company, go into these meetings and represent yourself properly, working with the right people, making the right decisions as to what jobs to take and what not to. And I've been able to, you know, as I cross, I'm like literally crossing my fingers. I've been able to navigate it so that I'm still here for 10 years. And I hope I get to stay as long as I want. But I just think it's all about figuring out what makes you happy and chasing it. It sounds very cliche, but it's real. I hate that it sounds cliche, but it's real.
This is awesome. Well, for listeners at beyondtheuniform.org, you'll find show notes. You'll find a link to sunnyanderson.com. You'll find a link to Sunny Anderson on Instagram, on Facebook. You can check out the products that she talked about. We'll have links to all of those as well. You'll find links to the Food Network, where you can find out more about her shows, her Wikipedia page as well. So no shortage of references for listeners who want to dig in deeper. But Sunny, thank you so much for your time and for the very energizing perspective of hearing your journey, which is really incredible.
Justin, thanks for having me. Thanks for even wanting to talk about my journey. I have so much fun in life, and I'm so used to, for my career field, being one out of questions. So it's nice when you talk to someone that gets it and understands where you're coming from. I had a really good time.
Well, thank you so much for listening and for supporting Beyond the Uniform. Beyond the Uniform is produced and edited by me, Justin Asiri. Our staff is entirely part-time. They do this on nights and weekends out of the goodness of their hearts to give back to the military community. Our director of outreach is Steve Bain, who relentlessly books guests, finds sponsors, puts together our newsletter, and thousands of other critical tasks every single week, all behind the scenes to keep Beyond the Uniform running smoothly. Our editor is Kathleen Dillon, who listens to and transcribes every single episode to help out those who don't have the time to listen to the show. It has a major impact on our site's SEO value, which helps people find us through Google. Our data analytics and insights advisor is Andrew Woolridge, who pours over the data each and every month to help us better understand how to best serve the Beyond the Uniform audience. Our digital production work is done by Michael Cummings, who puts together custom artwork for every episode. If you're enjoying Beyond the Uniform, the best way to help us out is by telling your friends and fellow service members and veterans. iTunes reviews, believe it or not, have a big impact on getting the word out as well. So if you have a chance to leave a positive review, that is greatly appreciated. If you know of a business that would like to get their product or service in front of a military audience, we are always on the lookout for sponsors, which helps us subsidize the cost of putting this show together. And if you haven't yet signed up for our newsletter, you can do so at beyondtheuniform.io. We send out a newsletter twice a month, and it is a treasure trove of helpful information for your civilian career and transition. And be sure to check out our coaching program, where you can be connected with a subsidized professional, certified executive and career coach to help you in your career decision-making. Thank you for listening, and I'll be back next week with more stories from military veterans about their civilian career. Take care.